Well, good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder, and this is BRN AM for Monday, July 6th, 2020. And here are our top stories. Retirement conferences are back, at least virtually, and what you can learn from the Spark DECEA Public Policy Forum. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more is Tim Rouse. He is the Executive Director for the Society of Professional Asset Managers and Record Keepers. Tim, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, it's great to see you, and so much going on in the industry. I'm so glad we could catch up. But before we kind of dive into what you and the Defined Contribution Institutional Investment Association are doing this summer, why don't you tell us a little bit about who Spark is, what you do, and how you advocate on behalf of so many Americans out there.
Sure. Well, Spark is the Spark as an institution represents a very broad interest of cross-section of the retirement industry. We service investment managers, including banks, mutual fund companies, insurance companies, third-party administrators, trade clearing firms, and benefit consultants. Collectively, our members record keep the accounts for over 100 million American workers.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. And it's the advocacy that you and the members do are help drive a lot of change. So, Tim, I want to let's start with, I know you've got a big public policy event that you're doing with DECEA, but I want to go back. COVID-19, obviously a huge pandemic, impacted a lot of businesses, including record keepers, asset managers, banks, et cetera. But it also changed the way you and organizations like yours are doing business. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you've been impacted, not you personally, unless you have been, but how you and the team at Spark have been impacted.
Well, we have been impacted because a lot of what we do is bring the industry together in various ways. Late last year, you mentioned DECEA, Lou Minsky, who runs DECEA, and I, late last year, decided to partner really at the request of the industry because we had so many organizations that are members of both associations. And they felt like they were being pulled in so many directions. They asked if we could come together, and we did. And we decided to have two public policy events. One was going to be focused on the U.S. public policy, and the second was going to be looking at the global public policy issues around retirement, because there's been a growing interest among our membership at what's going on outside U.S. borders. And so we did that, and that's when COVID hit. And as soon as COVID hit, we had to cancel the first event. And then as it progressed along, we had to cancel the second event. So now what we've done is we've gone to a virtual conference. So we're bringing everyone together. Typically, we bring them together face-to-face, but now we're going to bring them together in a virtual experience. It's an experiment for us. We're hoping that it works. But already it's had some positive results. One is that we decided to do this, offer this webinar series, this summer webinar series, which we are spreading out over a 6-week period over the summer, free of charge. So that because of that, and because of the fact that there is no travel involved, we have a significantly larger number of folks registered for the event. We're approaching over 1,000 folks. Wow. And not only that, but typically at a Spark event, the folks that attend are generally the record keepers and those that service the record keepers. But already we've got 22% of the folks that will be attending our summer series are either consultants or advisors. We have over 60 plan sponsors registered to attend, and a significant number of TPA firms that will be joining us.
So, I mean, really, you and DECEA and others inside and outside this industry, because it's not just the retirement or financial services industry that has to adapt. It's virtually everyone that's had to adapt. I mean, you really have kind of stepped up and looked at technology and looked at a way to take what exists out there, Zoom-like structures, and kind of recreate the virtual conference experience. So let me ask you, Tim, how can people, if people are watching our show, and we have many people that watch the show from all walks of life in all parts of America. But how would people look to register, if possible, for your event?
They can register on, they can go to the Spark Institute and they can register mm-hmm. there, or they can go to DCIA's website and register there as well.
And they can, and so this will be over a six-week period. And I think what I really like about what you're trying to recreate, so you're not only creating the webinar series as you're describing it, but you're also recreating the virtual booth. And about a month and a half ago, we had a gentleman on from a major conference planning organization who talked about this shift and what this would mean virtually. And it seems like you guys have really just picked up the ball and running with this. You actually have a virtual exhibition hall, if you will, right? I mean, you can, and virtual networking sessions. I think this is absolutely fascinating, especially for an industry. You know, the financial services industry is pretty conservative. They don't always jump into the latest technology. So why don't you talk a little bit about the virtual booths and how that's going to work? I think it's really fascinating.
Well, we were trying to recreate as close as possible the experience that our members have in getting together face-to-face. So what we did was we contracted with a platform provider that mm-hmm. provides a virtual space. So the virtual space will give the participant who's coming to our event the experience of walking into a conference hall. There'll be a registration desk. You'll see general meeting rooms. You'll see breakout rooms. To your point earlier, you'll see an exhibit hall. If you go into the exhibit hall, individuals can virtually go around the exhibit hall, meet with vendors. Actually, during certain live time frames, they can chat with an agent. They can grab materials. They can see videos. We also, as you pointed out, are experimenting with even virtual networking events mm-hmm. because that's one of the things that people miss is that impromptu meeting that they can set up at a conference with someone to share ideas. And so what we're trying to do, again, it's an experiment for us, is set those things up. And several of our members have volunteered to host these. They're looking at creative ways to entertain folks during these sessions. Some are looking at doing a virtual workout. Some are looking at doing a baseball night. We're asking that in those social networking events that there's really not business. It will be hosted by a company, but it's really not about business. It's really about networking. So we're trying and we're hoping. We've got our fingers crossed and we hope that it works out well.
Well, it sounds like you've already been successful because you've got over 1,000 people that are signed up. And so maybe you're able to reach an audience more broadly than you would to have them come to Washington, D.C. or another city to visit. It sounds absolutely fascinating. Tim, I want to go to a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Tim about what are some of the hot button issues that he, Spark, and DCIA will be covering in these public policy forums and more broadly across the other industry associations. So stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
The windows on our homes, they protect us and the ones we love, but they do much more. At Renewal by Andersen, making your home more comfortable is at the center of every window we make. It's why we custom build our windows in America and install them in as little as one day. It's why we build our frames with exclusive Fibrex composite material that's 2 times stronger than vinyl. It's why our glass helps keep your home warmer in winter, cooler in summer, and quieter all year long. It's why we stand behind every window with a 20-year limited warranty. Why not help lower your energy costs while giving your home and family the best? Call 1-800-835-6525 to schedule a free in-home consultation. Buy one, get one at 40% off with this special offer. Plus, get special financing with no money down, no monthly payments, and no interest for one full year. Renewal by Andersen, the better way to a better window. Call 1-800-835-6525 now.
Welcome back. We're talking to Tim Rouse, Executive Director for the Society of Professional Asset Managers and Record Keepers. Tim, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Hey, again, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the fact that you and DeSea are adopting the latest technology. This sounds like a very interesting event. I want to kind of dive in a little bit. What are some of the hot button issues now that viewers need to be aware of that the retirement industry, the financial services industry in general, are tackling and you're going to tackle during these public policy forum weeks?
Well, so we're kicking off our summer series on July 15th. And because it's all focused on public policy, we took the best of the U.S. public policy agenda that we had and the best of the global public policy agenda that we had, and we merged them together. So we've got some terrific topics and some terrific subject matter experts. We're kicking off the first day with, we have Congressman Phil Rowe from Tennessee who will speak to start the conference off. And then we have our regulators from the DOL and from the IRS, both of which have been very, very active in our space recently. Yeah. And they'll have a lot to say. And then the second session of that day will be Hill staff. And we want to know what's going on in Washington and what's coming down the road. Late last year, we passed the Secure Act, and you asked what we're working on. Well, we were very active in implementing the Secure Act. All of our members were very active in that, and we're still active in doing that. Then the COVID crisis hit, and we were very active with the CARES Act. And then we had to quickly change gears and get the CARES Act implemented. And we did that, and now we're refocusing back on the Secure Act. So we'll have a deep dive into the Secure Act. That's another session that we'll be doing. We have other global sessions that we'll be looking at how the world saves and how the world saves in different countries around the globe. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking at universal workplace savings programs here in the US as well as in Australia and in the UK and Canada. We've got sessions dedicated to lifetime income, because in the Secure Act, there is provision for lifetime income, and implementation of that is going to be very important. So a lot of really great topics for us to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it. I think it's an understatement that the Department of Labor and IRS, I mean, they have been working in overdrive. I mean, we just saw some issuances the last couple of weeks with private equity, or a private letter ruling around private equity, had some recent regulations about ESG. Tim, cybersecurity is, I think, something that Spark in particular, you all have been big advocates for cybersecurity in general, but trying to put a framework together. Would you mind talking a little bit about that? Because that's something that's very interesting to our audience. We often cover at least once a month on data breaches, what people can do to protect themselves. But how is the industry responding to stepping up to these outside attacks, either here domestically or externally across the world.
Well, Jeff, thanks for crediting us and the work that we're doing on cybersecurity. We've been doing that for over 4 years now, and our Data Security Oversight Board is just one of the committees that remains very active at SPARC. Some of the things that the Data Security Oversight Board has been working on is educating employers, particularly the smaller and mid-sized employers that may not have the same security resources available to them. Earlier in the year, we were planning to have in-person meetings. Because we couldn't do that, we've held a few virtual meetings that have been very successful in helping and opening it up to smaller employers and giving them the information and tools that they need. In addition to that, our Data Security Oversight Board and our Senior Operations Council, which is made up of all of the heads of all the back office folks, have worked together last year, and they created a fraud prevention committee. And that fraud prevention committee created 13 recommendations for how the industry can come together to help protect against fraud. Mm-hmm. We're now implementing those 13 recommendations, and we've broken them into three different work streams. One work stream is education of both plan sponsors and participants. The other work stream is the intelligence gathering and sharing among industry members on fraud. The bad guys work together, and as an industry, we need to work together. And then the third is implementing best practices for controls and what controls should be in place to protect against fraud. And we're working with outside organizations. We're working with the government. We're doing some terrific stuff on that. Then we've got our other committees. I mentioned the Senior Operations Council. They were very active early on in moving over to a virtual workplace, work from home, which they did very seamlessly. Many of our members have had over a decade of experience of working from home, and so it was fairly easy for us to do that. But also, I mentioned the CARES Act and implementing the CARES Act to make assets available to folks who may have lost their jobs because of the COVID crisis. So they've been working very heavily on that, and now we've got other provisions that we need to implement. So our folks are busy doing that. In addition to that, we also have the research that we're working on. Late last year, we started work, both ASEA and SPARC, on looking at emergency savings. That has certainly picked up a lot of steam with the COVID crisis. And so we're doing some research on how best does an emergency savings program mesh with a retirement program.
Look, you're not doing anything, right? I mean, it sounds like you guys are busy from sun up to sun down. I don't know how you keep it all straight, but it's, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I don't think many people are aware of, that there's all these different intricate pieces about how things fit together, and groups have to work together. And it's nice to see SPARC and ASEA, two very prominent organizations, come together and their members work together to kind of solve these issues. I guess last question here, Tim. You know, many of us who have been in the industry, yourself included, the focus of the industry has always been around fees. And we've talked about fees and how fees are important. And no one would argue that fees are not important. But there seems to have been a shift. And a shift now to something by the name of financial wellness. And it gets called a lot of different things. I'm a big fan of not branding things certain ways. But really kind of providing that holistic big picture. You mentioned emergency savings. You're tackling that. But really, retirement isn't just retirement. Hey, you know, you go off into the sunset, sit on a rocking chair. There's a lot of moving pieces here. You talked about lifetime income, right? I mean, how are you all thinking about this big picture and kind of bringing it all in to the members?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because in November, our governing board voted on changing really the mission of SPARC had traditionally been focused on just retirement, but to the point you just made about financial wellness, the industry and the demands of both participants as well as plan sponsors has caused us to say, we are now focused on anything that is workplace savings related. So to your point, it's emergency savings, if it's HSAs, if it's student loan repayments, if it's workplace 529 savings, mm-hmm. We can no longer help a participant in a silo, and help them look at just making contributions to their 401k plan without at the same time understanding their entire financial picture.
Yeah, I think this is so important. I think it's overdue. I'm not pointing the finger at Spark. I think as an industry, we need to kind of think outside the silos. And I should mention to the audience, I mean, we are planning to cover, this is a really important public policy event, conference. We're going to cover this. I think each week we're going to have somebody from either Spark or DCIA on at least to tell us what people can expect, what we learned from the prior week. I think this, you know, I'm really looking forward to covering this and learning more and even attending some of the events. Tim, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning. Thanks for putting this together, this event with Lou Minsky, who we're also going to have on the program. And we look forward to catching up with you and the team very soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest or someone you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement markets, technology, personal finance, and more, check out today's edition of The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Attention. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has officially authorized new benefits that Medicare Advantage plans may include. To get the benefits you deserve, you can call the Medicare Coverage Helpline.
Hi, I'm Joe Namath. If you're on Medicare, this is important information. I called the Medicare Coverage Helpline and they instantly looked up my coverage. In this one simple call, they offered to enroll me in a plan that includes rides to medical appointments, private home aides, doctors and nurses visits by telephone, and even home-delivered meals. The plan also includes dental, vision, hearing, and prescription drug coverage, all at no additional cost.
Don't delay. Call to see if the new benefits are available in your area.
Call the number on your screen now. It's free.
Call 1-800-757-1451. That's 1-800-757-1451.